29 minutes past 2 o'clock now on LBC Reports, and we're just coming up to a historic time because in just under a minute's time, we're going over to Parliament for the start of live broadcasting from the House of Commons. And it's going to be the first of a whole long series of reports from our parliamentary team over in the House of Commons on this historic day, starting in about 30 seconds' time. Peter Allen and Ed Boyle will be taking you through parliamentary question time, which will last for about 20 minutes. But it's going to be the first, as I say, of a series of reports, which will be happening four times every day. We'll be keeping you right up to date with all the things that are happening in Parliament. And also on LBC Reports in the afternoon and early evenings, we'll be going over live to Parliament as well for live parliamentary broadcasting. But anyway, just coming up now to the parliamentary broadcasting, and it's now 2:30. Let's go over to Peter Allen at Parliament.
IRN at Westminster, Peter Allen, and we welcome listeners to a moment of history, not just for independent radio, but for the House of Commons as well. In just a few minutes, we'll be taking you live to the Chamber of the Commons to hear the Speaker, George Thomas, call the House to order. And from that moment, every word the members speak will be recorded. Not all of those words will be broadcast, but the important ones will. It'll be our job to make the selection of what matters. Today, the first business of the House is, in fact, Welsh questions, and that will begin, as I say, in just a few minutes. At the moment, the Speaker and members of Parliament, ministers and backbenchers are in their places in the chamber. They are at prayers, a ceremony which takes place at the beginning of every day's business, a ceremony from which all members of the public, including the broadcasters, are excluded. Until we join political editor Ed Boyle in the chamber, we have a moment to hear the words of Speaker George Thomas, the man who'll cry order, order at the beginning of business, speaking on this occasion at the opening of the Independent Radio News studio.
The House of Commons is, as it has been, and as it always will be, the guardian of our liberties in this land, and it can be a matter only for rejoicing that the British public will now be able to hear at first hand the voices of the parliamentarians as they seek to help in the government of this land.
The Speaker, George Thomas. Having called the honourable members present to order, he asks for the first question. These questions are in fact written out on an order paper, so the first man up, in this case Labour's Gwilym Roberts, simply rises and says, "Number one, sir." The minister replies to that question, and then Mr. Roberts gets the first chance to cross-examine him on his answer. In this case, the question's asking for information on how many people speak Welsh. The questioner, Gwilym Roberts, explains his choice of question.
Well, I do believe it is a historic occasion. I think perhaps, as a Welshman, it is not worth noting in passing that the Welsh language has at least achieved some priority and what I believe is genuine importance on this first day of broadcasting in Parliament. Or if I may put it to my Welsh speaking listeners, few as they are probably within your area, dwi'n meddwl bod yn bwysig fod yr iaith Gymraeg wedi cael lle pwysig hwn ar y diwrnod cyntaf o ddadlenu a radio rhaglenni y tŷ cyffredin. A dwi'n meddwl bod hyn yn danos bod gobaith i'r iaith a bod dyfodol i'r iaith ac i'r genedl yn Nghymru.
Gwilym Roberts, the man who will be putting the first question when the House officially begins business in a few moments' time, not hopefully in Welsh. And in case you're tuned in to hear the words of your Member of Parliament at work and you're disappointed to hear me instead, let me repeat. The House of Commons is at present at prayers, a ceremony from which we are excluded. As soon as those prayers are over, we'll be joining political editor Ed Boyle, who'll be attempting to explain what are often pretty mystifying ceremonies and practices. If you were in the Commons Public Gallery this afternoon, for instance, you'd notice that, as the Minister concludes each answer, dozens of members spring to their feet and gaze earnestly at the Speaker, who sits in his raised chair at one end of the chamber. In fact, they're trying to catch the Speaker's eye, draw his attention by the alacrity with which they rise and the earnest expression on their faces to the fact that they want to question the Minister. It's up to the Speaker to decide how many such supplementaries to call before he moves on to question two. In case you think we are forgetting the other place, as they call it in the Commons, or the House of Lords, as everyone else knows it, let me reassure you that we aren't. The Lords are not sitting today. When they meet tomorrow, we'll be going over there. We'll try to bring you something from that establishment, and that'll be tomorrow. First, though, the focus is on the Commons, and we'll be going there any moment now. It's a matter of exact timing, because, as I say, nobody really knows exactly when the prayers will finish. Perhaps the first dominant impression you get on listening to members of the Commons at work is that they're, well, just a bit noisy. Somehow, when you're present, the noise and the jeers and the cheers and the catcalls and all the interruption, they all seem a normal part of the process of debate, but to the listener on radio, they can sometimes cause a shock. When the chamber's crowded and passions run high, particularly at times like Prime Minister's questions, which you'll be able to hear tomorrow, the Commons does sound a bit like a bear garden. But you'll be able to hear for yourself pretty soon now, because I hear that Ed Boyle, jubilant thumbs up, Ed Boyle is in fact in the House of Commons in his position. Let's join Ed Boyle in the commentary position now.
The Speaker is in the chair. He's being handed certain pieces of paper, which is standard, because, frankly, they've just had prayers. He's wiping his brow on his feet.
Order, order. I regret to have to inform the House of the death of Alexander Wilson, Esquire, Member for Hamilton, and I desire on behalf of the House to express our sense of the loss we have sustained and our sympathy with the relatives of the Honourable Member.
Questions? This is the first opportunity that there has been to say anything about Alex Wilson, who died so tragically.
With permission, publish the figures in the official report.
This is the voice of John Morris answering Gwilym Roberts' question about how many people actually speak Welsh. Let's hear him.
Over 170,000. This government has taken and continues to take a wide and significant range of measures to support and encourage the speaking of Welsh.
Mr. Gwilym Roberts.
Would my right honourable friend accept that in view of the evidence that the number speaking Welsh are falling consistently in spite of the strenuous efforts by the government, more emphasis should be made on informal methods of supporting the language? Would he not agree that the most important thing is to stimulate an interest in the language among young people, possibly in the first instance by extending a radio and television coverage in Welsh?
Gwilym Roberts, Labour MP for Cannock. John Morris is now replying.
In any way from the helpful comment of my honourable friend, the government is committed to the fourth channel. It is a matter of resources. My right honourable friend, the Home Secretary, has set up a working party to consider this issue further. It is helpful that although some of the figures are very unhappy figures, that there is a higher proportion of 10 to 14-year-olds who speak Welsh. I think that is indicative of the effort that has been made in the schools.
Geraint Howell.
Speaker, sir, while appreciating the efforts of the Secretary of State during the last few years to safeguard the Welsh language, is he now in a position to announce whether the fourth television channel will be allocated to Wales, and would he further agree with me that all those programmes on such a channel should be in Welsh?
Geraint Howell is the leader of the Welsh Liberal Party.
That is a matter for my honourable friend, the Home Secretary. And while there is a high degree of agreement as regards the apportionment of the fourth channel, there is also a significant minority who would be against segregating the Welsh language into one channel. But the government is committed to this.
Mr. David Ellis-Thomas.
Plaid Cymru.
Tell us whether the body which he set up 3 years ago to undertake detailed policy making on the Welsh language still exists. I refer to the Welsh Language Council. And if it still exists, will he tell us whether he has in fact received a long report from the Council as a result of extensive public consultations in Wales, and what action he proposes to take on the report of that Council?
The Minister, John Morris, replying to this in the series of questions on Welsh language.
The Council's activity has come to an end. I think that was announced in the course of January. I have received its report. It is now with the printers and will be published in the course of May.
Ivor Davis
is Labour.
He deserves the highest praise for the recent announcement he's made of assistance to the nationalised Eisteddfod, which has done so much to sustain and to further the Welsh language. Is he further aware that the development of Welsh primary schools...
Basically, if you can get an impression of what's going on, everybody, once the first question has been asked and officially replied to, has a chance to join in. So, strictly speaking, they're still on question number one, which was Gwilym Roberts' original question about the Welsh language.
...expenditure in other directions as a case in point, bilingual road signs.
I'm most grateful to my honourable friend about his remarks concerning the grant of £275,000 to the National Eisteddfod, which has been welcomed right across Wales. It gives the Eisteddfod vital breathing space to consider the whole of its situation and to consider the future. and I'm most encouraged by the response of the authorities to the remarks that I have made. As regards the primary schools, I think it is indicative, the increase between 10 to 14, which I mentioned earlier, the effect the schools have, and I've given them every encouragement. And I've also given particular encouragement to the Mudiad Ysgolion Maithrin, the Welsh Playgroup Association, where the grant has been increased almost ninefold since I took office.
Sir Raymond Gower.
Sir Raymond Gower is Conservative.
This government have done a great deal. Wouldn't you go a bit further and say that most post-war governments have done a considerable amount in this field? And can he say whether the grant to the Eisteddfod is a once-for-all, or whether there may be, this may be looked at again?
I certainly wouldn't dissent from what the Honourable Gentleman has said. I think all governments have done a great deal in the furtherance of the language. And certainly I would want to...
This is Independent Radio News. The time is 20 minutes to 3.
It is a grant which is a grant to meet its present situation. And I would foresee that it is a once and for all grant from the government, because the normal course of assistance for organisations of this kind is through the Arts Council.
To William Van Strabenzi.
But two, sir.
This is question two, about whether people, school children of Wales, can actually count or read. This is Barry Jones, the Junior Minister of the Welsh Office, replying.
...place at the conference in Mould Clwyd on the 10th of March, and I am arranging for an account of this to be published. Thereafter, I intend to meet local education authorities and other bodies throughout Wales and consider with them how further progress can be made to combat the measure of underachievement revealed in these papers.
Mr. Van Strabenzi is the Conservative MP for Wokingham, and he's now making his supplementary.
...identifies, clearly does it not, that the less able child in Wales is disadvantaged against their counterparts in England, that there is only a passing reference to the principal difference between the education sustained by children in Wales and in England, namely, that in Wales, a proportion of time is spent on the compulsory teaching of a language which, however worthy of preservation, as it certainly is culturally, is nevertheless, in terms of the modern world, a dead language.
Well, Mr. Speaker, Barry Jones replying.
I heard the Honourable Member for Woking speaking to me in an accent that wasn't Welsh, and I would like to say to him that I think perhaps his remarks were insensitive, and that it is required by the local education...
They are, of course, all conscious here of the fact that this is very much a Welsh day. Incidentally, perhaps it is worth noting that the Prime Minister this very evening is entertaining members of the Welsh rugby team at number 10 to celebrate their victory in the Triple Crown. Back to Barry Jones, though, answering that question from Bill Van Strabenzi.
...the Welsh people from being able to take their place in the modern world.
Wynne Roberts!
The Minister agreed that there
Wynne
is,
Roberts
in fact,
is
no
conservative.
Evidence at all to show that there is a difference in attainment between Welsh speakers and non-Welsh speakers. And will he further agree that, judging by the results of the recent Institute of Mathematics test in 6 authorities throughout England and Wales, that the standard of attainment in numeracy is low among school leavers in England as well as Wales? But finally, Mr. Speaker, may I ask the Minister these 2 specific points. Has he come to a firm conclusion about changing the date of the CSE examination in Wales so that it does not fall after the spring bank holiday leaving date? And secondly, has he decided to give positive encouragement to children to take the CSE by the Mode 3 method rather than the Mode 1?
Mr. Speaker, I believe the Honourable Member...
These are detailed questions which spring from a document called Examination Achievement in Wales, Literacy and Numeracy. A number of MPs are very concerned about reading and writing and arithmetic achievements throughout the country, and that is basically what this particular discussion is all about. Barry Jones is now answering Wynne Roberts' specific point.
And I will certainly be contacting the Examination Board in Wales on that matter. And the second point that you raised, with specific reference to the conference at Mould, it is true, it seems, that the comparative and popularity of school-based assessment, including Mode 3, is important. and I shall certainly be asking the examinations board again to look at this matter.
Order. May I ask for the control of Celtic exuberance? Briefer questions than briefer answers. Mr. Cledwin Hughes.
That's the voice of George Thomas calling for a bit of order and common sense in the way questions are put. Cledwin Hughes, the Labour MP, who's also chairman of the Parliamentary Labour Party, is on his feet now.
Absolutely nothing about Wales, and will be best out of the chamber on these occasions. Would my... Would my honourable friend further confirm that the standards of educational attainment in those schools in Wales, where Welsh is the first language, is very high indeed?
Yes, Mr. Speaker, I can confirm the latter point that the honourable member, my honourable friend, my right honourable friend, has made. And with regard to the provocative and perhaps insensitive remarks of the honourable member for Woking, I think the best thing we might say today is that perhaps he was off...
The honourable member for Woking was Bill Venstrebenzi, who is English.
The Minister does not agree that the two reports do nevertheless disclose a disquieting feature of Welsh education, namely the number of children who lack literacy and numeracy. And
This is Emlyn Hooson, Liberal, getting back to the point on literacy and numeracy.
Not the findings indicate that the real weakness is in primary education in certain areas in Wales, which are not really the Welsh-speaking areas at all.
Mr. Speaker, I do believe the honourable member has put his finger on a very important factor in the education of all of our children in Britain, and certainly in Wales. That is the situation as it regards, with regard to quality in the primary school sector. That is the foundation for every child's education in Wales. And I want to take this opportunity of saying as well that the situation throughout Wales is one with regard to attainment about which we are not in any way complacent. And when the record of this conference has been delivered to the education service participants in Wales, then we will expect to take strong action.
Mr. David Knox.
David Knox is asking the third question about whether there should be first past the post in the devolution elections. David Knox is Conservative.
To me, in favour of a first past the post system for Welsh Assembly elections.
David Knox.
I should say that was John Morris actually replying to the question. Here's David Knox.
Provisions of the Wales Bill. Will he use his influence on his colleagues in the government to get them to amend the Wales Bill so that the elections will be by a system of proportional representation which will be much fairer?
As regards enthusiasm, Mr. Speaker, I have received...
The Secretary of State trying to reply to that point. Mr. Knox was favouring PR for the devolution elections. Here's the Minister.
And 160 organisations, and in like manner only 9. As regards the second part of the Honourable Member's supplementary, well, the House did discuss this on March the 1st and came down by a substantial majority against proportional representation.
Mr. Neil Kinnock.
Labour, Bert Wethley.
From his knowledge of Wales, that the reason for there being no representations on either side to speak of, for or against PR in the conduct of the Welsh Assembly elections, is that people in Wales know very well we're never going to get to that. Because fortunately the government has been provided us with a referendum which will ensure that the present proposals are sunk without trace whenever we get that referendum.
John Morris replying to this point.
David Wigley,
very briefly.
That we are to have a referendum, will the Secretary of State not take the opportunity to put a question on the method of election in view of the fact that 70% and more of the population have indicated that they prefer a PR method of election?
Dafydd Wigley is a Plaid Cymru member.
Because the House dealt with this on March the 1st. We had a full debate. I replied to the debate. And the majority was substantial against proportional representation.
Sir Anthony Mayer.
Anthony Mayer is question number 4 about Welsh devolution and how county councils have actually reacted to it.
County councils about the Wales Bill and connected matters.
Sir Anthony Mayer.
Sir Anthony Mayer, Conservative for West Flint, putting his supplementary.
...any more enthusiasm for the devolution bill than is shown by his backbench supporters, only 2 of which take the trouble to turn up to speak in its favour. Is it perhaps they recognise an electoral albatross when they see one?
I think a whole range of my honourable friends have taken part, one way or another, in the course of the debate on the bill. And as regards local authorities, when the Welsh Counties Committee came to see me, at a series of conferences I held in Cardiff in 1974, they then came down very firmly towards the executive solution that we proposed. In the course of time, they have become very concerned indeed with one aspect of it, and that is Clause 13, dealing with local government reorganisation. And the honourable member should know there is enormous dissatisfaction in Wales with the present system of local government.
Mr. Roy Hughes.
Roy Hughes, Labour.
Confirm that the government is not so much concerned about vested interests as about the best system of local government for Wales. And would he not agree that the last reorganisation was very much a gerrymandering exercise in favour of the Conservative Party? For example, the county of South Glamorgan was purposely created to make it Tory forever. And likewise, both the
and
county
here,
of...
I'm afraid we must leave. Welsh questions, a fairly crowded chamber, but Welsh questions, we must leave. So, from IRN at Westminster, it is, as they say in Wales, da pochi bore da. The House itself will be continuing with Welsh questions till just about 3:15, 3:30. IRN at Westminster, it is 10 minutes to 3.
That was the voice of Ed Boyle. 20 minutes of history just made on LBC News Radio, the live parliamentary broadcasting there for the first time on a permanent basis. We'll be back live at Westminster tomorrow at 3:15 for Prime Minister's Question Time, and also another event of history coming up next Tuesday afternoon when the budget is presented by the Chancellor, Dennis Healy. That'll be next Tuesday on LBC. Stay with us for live broadcasting of Parliament right here. But now it's back to LBC Reports with myself, Rick Davis, and Alan Clark for another 10 minutes before George Gale comes on the air with his 3 o'clock call. The time now, 10 minutes to 3 o'clock, and that means it's time for News for the Disabled with Felicity Lane Fox.